Okay, good morning. We are holding Daf Pevav Amud Aleph, the Mishnah, on Daf Pevav Amud Aleph. We are in our last day of kind of quote-unquote catch-up. Remember, we skipped ahead to do the three blot on Shavuos prior to Shavuos. Now we're holding Daf Pevav, and after we finish the Daf Mitzvah Shem, we'll skip back over those three blot and meet everyone else back on Daf Tzadik. Okay, so just before we start the Mishnah, quickly, just 2 points on yesterday's Daf. One is just a point of clarification. It seems like in the shir, in the recording, I think we made it more clear. We re-recorded this line, but in the shir itself, it wasn't so clear. In the patches, the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, when Rav was taking issue with planting five different species across the patch, the six vachim by six vachim, Rav's issue was that Rav was saying that you cannot have any patch nearby. If it's, it has to be dafka, bechurva, in a ruin, so to speak, in a barren area, if there's any patch nearby, that creates an issue because it's within three tefachim of another patch. Maybe it was clear yesterday. I'm not sure. Some people afterwards seemed to indicate that it wasn't so clear. Shmuel's saying, no, as long as we do like the first picture we had in Rashi on the bottom of Amud Aleph of Pehei, which is alternating halves of the perimeter, as long as you do alternating halves of the perimeters, you can have patch next to patch, as long as you're not meeting up side by side. You can have patch next to patch, and it's still not a concern. And the Mara even explains, even according to Rav, really it would be okay. It's just a gezeira. You may fill in the whole side, the whole perimeter, and that could lead to an issue. It'll be side by side, but really, in theory, Rav would agree as well. It's more of a gezeira. Okay, that's just one point of clarification. Another point that we left out from the Achreinim, again, I think it was added to the recording, but maybe the night share, but it wasn't, I don't know if he spoke it out in the morning, and that is that the Chassam Sefer just brings up, and the Gemara says that when, how do the Chachamim know that the Shir of Yanika is three Tvachim? Where do they know from? The Mara says, Kimlu. Mara asks, Kimlu? How? What's their source? Maybe the source is not reliable. Obviously, we point out it's not Lachem Eshbe Sinai. It's just it's some sort of a source from science. How do they know? It's the Mara says, they know from the people, from the Bnei Seir Yesh Ve'aretz. The experts that lived in the land in Bnei Seir, they knew exactly which land is fertile for what. They were able to smell the land, earth, taste the earth. They knew exactly how they knew the agriculture really well. And they're the ones that devised, that gave them this, the Chum took from them that the Shir is three tvachim. So some of the surface just points out that this, and Tshuva's Memhei, in general, this idea applies to many other halachas as well. The concept meaning that if you don't have a clear indication in halacha to a certain shir, but in science, the modern day science, it's clear, observable data tells me that there's a certain shear for different items, that can now be imported into halacha, and it can make enough community halacha, like in our case, legabe klayim. What's the shear of unique? It's based on whatever the scientists say the shear unique is, that's imparted into our shear now for the halacha of klayim. A few examples of this are for legabe, let's say, surgery. We know by sakanas of Avada, we have to, kuch nefesh, we're very particular. There's different halachas that go into what type of actions are allowed and when they're allowed. And we know that whatever, we rely on whatever the doctor says is considered important, is considered kuch nefesh, we rely on that to be quote unquote mechal azarachal Shabbos, mechal Shabbos, or to put someone in a matzav of a surgery where it's a potential kuch nefesh. We rely on the expertise of the doctor, even though it's not necessarily chachma of Torah. We use the chachma of the science in order to paskin what the Dimei Torah is. There's a Rambam in Kiddush Levana. Rambam says as well that we're not so fluent really in the nuances of Levana. We have to rely on the Chachmei Yavan, their knowledge of the Yavana, to use it for us to paskin what we call Kiddush Levana. So again, we're using the Chachma of the science to get to of the outsiders of the Gayim, to get to a Psak. A Nafkamina Lamaisa is Rav Rosenzatzal. He brought that in the modern day Sifrei Torah, not that these checks are foolproof, but computer checks add an element of checking that the human eye can miss, and therefore he brought that, it's like, it should be a chiyuv. I don't know if everyone agrees it's about mamash chiyuv, but a chiyuv that every Sefer Torah, now that we have the option to check with a computer, every Sefer Torah should be checked with a computer. Again, this is something, a science that didn't exist many years ago, but now that it does exist, he held it was a chiyuv to utilize it, the check of Sefer Torah, again, applying modern-day technology or modern-day science to halacha. It's interesting because Mitzvah in today's daf, we'll get to, that was based on really yesterday's idea of learning from Bnei Seir, the Shir of Yanika. In today's daf, we're going to have a Chassam Sefer who actually uses the Gemara to go exactly the opposite way. Uses the Gemara to ask a question that how do we use modern-day science for certain things? Our Gemara seems to indicate opposite. We'll see. We'll point it out when we get there later in the daf. Okay, Pazakta Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to finish up the last four. I think we already had three Menayans. Menayan that if I desire is Tameh, Menayan that makes a person Tameh, Menayan that a ship is Torah, and we have a Machlokes exactly what that means. And then we have the Menayin about the Aruga, about how many species you can plant within the Aruga. That's the three Mishnayos Menayin we have. This Mishnah alone is going to quote four Menayins. Number one, Menayin lepelata shechva zera b'yamishlishi. How do we know that Isha, who has pelet from her body, shechva zera, on the third day, that she's going to be Tame. This is talking about Isha had relations with the man, obviously, and the Zera was inside her, and it came out of her, it came back out of her, and the question is, how long is it still Tame? The question isn't, how long is it still Shechva Zera? Shechva Zera maybe can come out a week later, but the point is, Tum is only going to be as long as the Shechva Zera is potent. As long as it's still its potency, then if it comes out of her body, she's going to be Tame. If one leaves her body, and the outside, when it's inside her body, it's okay. When it comes out of her body, it makes her Tame. If, however, the Shechva Zera is no longer potent, then it won't give off Tumah. So the question of the Mishnah really is, how long is it considered potent that she's going to be Tumah? Says the Gemara, so it's 3 days. Says the Mishnah, sorry, 3 days. How do we know it's 3 days? Because it says be ready for a 3-day period. That's the period that Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Klal Yisrael to separate from their wives. And it's a machlekes, or basically their bottom, was it 2 days or was it 3 days? Meaning, did they get the Torah on day three? Separated 2 days and got the Torah on day three? Or did they separate 3 days and get the Torah on day four? That's going to be machlekes, or basically their bottom. But the point is that machlekes is based in this idea that Aisha's tummy, if the Zera comes out, and our Mishnah, at least, is going with the Tzad, that she's Tame for, even when the Zera comes out on day three, which is like the way Rabbi Yossi learns, even on day three she's Tame, and therefore you need it to be day four. Now, one important detail about this is that for Matan Torah, the Kepeda was Dafka this Tuma, specifically this Tuma of Pleta Shechva Zera, this Tuma was a Kepeda. Tumas Mace, Tumas Sheretz, doesn't seem to have been a Kepeda. And the idea is because the Gemara in Brachas, we learned this not so long ago in Brachas Achav Beis, that the Gemara tells us that the kabbalster had to be be'ema uviyira. Kabbalster had to be with a certain reverence, with a certain fear, a certain yira. The tumah that comes from shechva zera is a tumah that comes from a matzav overall of, I don't call it kalos reish, levity, but it's a matzav of would certainly not be called ema uviyira. Typically, it's not an act which is. You know, wouldn't be characterized as aim of yira. So since that tumah comes from an act which is a steerit aim of yira, that tumah was a problem by matan Torah. But tumas meis, let's say, or tumas sheretz, wasn't necessarily an issue by matan Torah that they couldn't be tummy these other tumas because those wouldn't be a stira to aima v'yira. Okay, so that's menayin number one. The Gemara is going to elaborate. That's going to be most of the daf is going to focus on this first menayin of Pletesh Chazera, and that's actually how the daf gets into the conversation, the discussion of, again, matan Torah, of course, being on whether it was on day six or day seven of Sivan. How do we know that one can bathe a baby that had a mila on its third day, we know the third day of Mila is a very traumatic day. The Mara is going to bring the source exactly for that. How do we know that's traumatic? And therefore, one's allowed to wash a baby on Shabbos. What does that mean exactly? Rambam and Pirush Mishayas, Rashi seems to indicate as well, the same thing. Rambam learns it means you're allowed to heat up water to clean up a baby on Shabbos. A baby that just had a Mila by its third day, up to the third day. The Chara means not just third day alone, first, second day as well, but up to the third day, you're allowed to heat up water in order to rinse the baby on Shabbos. How do we know this? It says, of course, by the famous Rabbi Shimon Levi, they waited to the third day when the Shechem were raised from Kevim, and they then came and they fought them then. Actually, it sounds like the third day is particularly dangerous, particularly painful, more than what I just said. I said the first day is also with the Chara be Bekuv Nefesh. I think it's true, but the puzzle there being a riot to actually seems to stress the third day. Maybe it was the third day because it was a buildup of three consecutive days of having a lot of pain, but the third day seems to be unique in its pain. But either way, we're bringing that as a source that one can wash the baby. This Fasemis asks, he says, what do you mean? Who says, on Rambam, who says that you're allowed to heat up water to wash the baby? Maybe the Mishnah is telling us you're allowed to wash the baby, even though we know bathing on Shabbos, bathing is Aser, where the Mishnah is telling us that you're allowed to bathe, it's not a problem of bathing a baby on Shabbos. Maybe that's the Chiddush, that it's Aser Midrabanan, not maybe a leniency even on a Daraisa. So the simple explanation for Rambam is very simple, because we know any Chayla she'ein bei sakana. That's pikuach nefesh. Even a chayla she'ein be'sakana, we relax drabanans. Drabanans, we don't take medicine normally. Chayla she'ein be'sakana is allowed to take medicine. So if the discussion at hand was like the Sassemis is saying, is suggesting that perhaps it's just to be able to wash the baby's body with water that's heated before Shabbos. So just the Isra Abana of washing one's body, you wouldn't need a special manayin, a special source from the Psukim to bring like a drasha to say whether it's a drasha kamur or a smachta. Either way, a special drasha to say it's mutter to wash the baby. It's a chashem masakana. A baby, a young baby is considered, even after the bris milah, even after weeks, a young baby is always considered a chayla she'em be sakana. Up to you know, months and months, even up to some say up to as many as two, as much as 2 years. It's considered a chayla she'im b'sakana. So if it's a chayla she'im b'sakana, of course you can wash a baby if needed on Shabbos with water that already was heated. That wouldn't be the question. The question must be to heat water, which is deraisa. That's the question, and that's what Rambam's saying, that one is allowed to do that on Shabbos. Now, the girsa we have in our Mishnah is, Naisha Merchitzin Es Hamila. Taisus points out, or the Yushalmi brings, there's a girsa elsewhere that says, Naisha Merchitzin Es Hatinik. Now, what's the difference between Merchitzin Es Hatinik, Merchitzin Es Hamila? So the Yushalmi brings Machlekes Amram, what's Taka Mutter? Is a Mutter just to wash the Makam Hamila of the baby, heat up water to clean the Makam Hamila, and prevent from infection and from other danger? Or is it the entire body of the baby is allowed to be, you allowed to heat up water to wash the entire body of the baby? The Maisa, the Yushalmi comes down the Maskana, that's the entire body. The Tinnik is Mutter, not just the Mila, the Tinnik. A Tinnik that just had Mila, it's Mutter, but it's the entire Tinnik, it's Mutter. You allowed to heat up water for the entire Tinnik, not just for the Mila. The Sfasemis just points out further, getting back to that discussion with Sfasemis and Rambam, that Sfasemis points out further, if the Chiddush is that a baby, you're allowed to heat up water because the baby is considered a Chiddush Yesh B'Sakana, so what's the Chiddush? Hagufa. We know every Chiddush Yesh B'Sakana, you're allowed to Mechal Shabbos. So Vaiter, what's the Chiddush? If a baby that's just had a Mila is a Chiddush Yesh B'Sakana, then what's the Chiddush for Mishnah? So he explains very simple. Hagufa. That is the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that even if the baby looks okay, a baby had a bris and it looks okay, any baby that just had a bris in his first couple of days has a din, we spoke about before, that every baby has din of a Chiddush Yesh B'Sakana. The Chiddush is a baby just had a bris is upgraded to the Madrega of a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, and therefore, even if it doesn't seem to be in a traumatic, Baruch Hashem, the baby doesn't seem to be in a traumatic position, doesn't seem to be in danger, we still can operate with the assumption that it's a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, and we're allowed to go heat up water to the Chayla. That's good for the Chiddush, and therefore, that the Mishnah is not, again, it's not telling us that Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana is Mutter, it's telling us this baby is a din of a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana. Okay, din number three. Menayin shekayshru nashin shazayis bereisha sar b'mashleach. How do we know that on the sar mashleach the sotah goes al zazel yom kippur that we tie a red like a wool is tied to its horns, tied to the head? Shenemar imu katechem kashanim kashal gavino. Even if your averus, your sins are like shanim, are red. They're very clear. They're very noticeable, full to see. I will whiten them like snow. That's why yom kippur kashanim says I'll give you kapara. We learn from there that we tie a red string on the head, on the horns, la zazel, and we check to see when it throws down the mountain. When it gets thrown down the mountain, if that string turns white. They also had they believe they used to have to keep even a string also in the base of Migdash corresponding it, and the string in the base of Migdash would also turn white. We'll see that again, Mr. Shem again, in Masechet Yuma. Menayin l'sicha shikashisiyah b'yom kippurim, the final din of all these seven, again, we spoke out in the beginning of the parak, presumably these dinim all put together, there were some asmachtas. We went from the drusha in parak lamna in Yeshaya, teaching us the shear of carrying a cheres, to the drusha of Avodah Zarah, which is also in Yeshaya, parak lamna, same sikh over there, but then we went to a whole bunch of menayins, which we spoke out, are taught together. Mishayas originally were not written down. It was originally, of course, it was Tosha Mapeh. A way to remember it is to lump it together. So we lumped together these seven menayins. This is the seventh, the final one. We lumped together Megillah, all the Ein Bains. We like to lump together Dinim for memory purposes, especially, again, keeping in mind that Mishayas were used to be Balpeh. So menayin l'sicha shikshia, how do we know that smearing, anointing oneself, is like drinking Yom Kippur. It's usher, just like it's usher to eat and drink. It's usher sicha. We know it's one of the Chamesh Inuyim, but our Mishnah, we know that because we're after the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying, how do we know that sicha indeed is usher and Yom Kippur, like drinking, eating and drinking? Even though there's no clear raya, there's an illusion. It's like an asmachta. Shenemar batavei kamayim b'kirbay u'kisham batzbeisav. The pasuk describes that the it came into the body like water. It came in like water into the body, and like oil in his bones. So it compares the oil. This is a pasuk in Tilim. It compares the oil going davar melch, oil going into the bones, like water going into the body. So we see that sicha is kishtia, it's a raya, that sicha is kishtia. The Gemara in Yuma, on the Ayin Dal, points out, do not make a mistake and think that there's a chiv karis for sicha. Even though achil and shtia and Yom Kippur do have a chiv karis, don't make a mistake and think sicha is kishtia, and we're going so far to say the chiv karis, it's aser. Sicha is aser, it's one of the chamesh inuyim, but there is no chiv of karis. And the Rishonim actually already point out, over there, the Rishonim point out, that the drush itself is a little bit, not lacking, but it's not a full-fledged drush. Taisus points out, the pasuk that compares to is not talking about drinking. Vatavek b'mayim, Vatavek kamayim b'kirbay is actually not even talking about, it says the water will come in, they come like water into his innards, but it's not talking about drinking water. It's actually talking about bathing in water. The Pasuk talking about bathing in water in Kippur is not really, it's not Chiv Karas either. The Chiv Karas says drinking water. So the whole comparison of oil to the water is talking about a snare of water, which is itself is not Chiv Karas. So therefore, clearly, oil would not be Chiv Karas. That's Taisa's point. And the Ritva elaborates further. The Ritva says, even if it would be talking about drinking water, the whole Pasuk in Tehillim is a mushel. The Pasuk in Tehillim is a mushel. We cannot bring, even if in a mushel we're comparing Sicha of oil to drinking of water, even if it was drinking, forget about the way Taisa is saying that it's a bath. Even if it was drinking, hypothetically, says the Ritva, it's still a mushel. You cannot bring a source that from a mushel, if a mushel is comparing anointing oil on the body to drinking water, it's a very nice source of drush, but to bring it as a drush gemur to say the chiv karas, that you can't do. The Nebuchadnezzar actually asks, we have a bunch of dinim, minayans, and I'm not saying every single one of them are only asmachtas, but seemingly a lot of them, maybe the majority, are only asmachtas. So while over here, does the Mishnah point out, afal pishein raya ledover, zeich ledover. Even though there's no raya, there's a zeicher. That's a very clear way of saying, even though it's not a clear pasuk, a clear drasha, it's a zeicher, it's an asmachta. All of a sudden, if there's an asmachta, he says yes, because one could have made a mistake and said this drasha for the pasuk Ketilim, this drasha is a real drasha, and would have made a mistake. And we know taka, sicha is aser. Sicha is aser in Kippur. So one could have made a mistake and said the iser of sicha applies, not just iser, even to the extent of karis. And therefore, we have to eliminate that mistake, that toyas. Therefore, the Mishnah specifies, afal pishein raya ledover. This din, by the way, of whether or not of rubbing oil is like a sicha, is like shtia, is relevant to Yom Kippur. The Gemara actually brings it elsewhere, the gabe truma. It brings it still the gabe truma as well. That a non kayan. A kayan can use oil. The way to use it actually is to use this to rub a certain oils, is to rub on the skin, not even just to eat it. And that's a fine usage of the kayan using his oil. A non kayan who does, that's taka ever, is usher. And if he does it in a normal fashion, again, when you use truma in a normal fashion, when you consume it in a normal fashion, and you're, and the person's not a kayan, he's chayv to pay back Karen and a chaymish. So an anointing with oil, a non-kayan anointing with oil, he's not supposed to be consuming it, he's chayiv the din of Karen chaymish, as if he ate chuma, he wasn't supposed to eat, anointing it is tak aser. The mar brings a different pasuk for the same din. The question is why the mar to bring a separate pasuk. Taisus also explains because one pasuk is a pasuk chumish, one pasuk is a pasuk tilim, and I may have, the pasuk chumish tells me that it's a really a biblical connection, not just a Jewish. The question is still, so once I have a pasuk chumish, who needs the pasuk tilim? Okay, it's a discussion in the sugya by Truma. But a bigger discussion is on this topic that's very well with Halacha Maisa. We keep referring both by Truma and by Yom Kippur, we refer to this idea of Sicha Kishtia, that anointing is like drinking Legave Shemen. That Shemen, anointing with Shemen, is like Shtia. Is it Dafka Shemen, or is it even with regard to other fats? For example, let's say, and because I am Kippur, and by the Kayan, the Isra, we're talking about oils that are mutter. They're mutter, they're just not mutter for this person, not mutter for Zar, or not mutter today, and Yom Kippur. They're mutter another day. That's the conversation. But what about if the oil itself is made of fats, is made from animal parts, let's say chelev, that's usr. Is that also a problem? If we say sichas kishtia, I'm consuming chelev. Is that a problem or not? So the question really is the fact that the Gemara in both places by Yom Kippur and Truma seems to focus dafka on oil. Does that mean dafka oil is a problem? Other fats are permissible, or is it going to apply to other fats as well? So Rabbeinu Tam says it's taka dafka oil. Oil, for some reason, only oil, we say sikh kishtia, where it's a problem. Other fats is not an issue. And the Rashba seems to agree. Nukutz Kesef says no, he takes a more Mohammedic approach. And he wants to say that no, the lav dafka, why should make a difference? Once we say sikh kishtia, then it wouldn't apply just by oil. It would apply by other fats as well. And other fats of Isser would be a problem to rub on one's body. What's the halacha lemaisa? Because it's very relevant, halacha lemaisa with soaps. If someone wants to use soaps, and the soaps are made from animal fats that are prohibited to eat, is that a problem or not? So the Be'alacha says the minig is to be makel like Rabbeinu Tam. The minig is to be makel that only applies to oil. The whole din applies to oil. Oil of Truma, oil of Kippur, but legabe fats of Isser, we don't say Sichas Kishtia, and therefore we don't have to worry, be makbid on getting kosher soap. That is the Be'alacha says that the Me'ikar din, that seems to be the minig. However, if one wants to be makbid, it would be a good thing to be makbid, because to be chayshish for the other Shitas Roshanim who hold that one, that the Isser, that the din of Sichas Kishtia would apply even on fats, and therefore one must makbid, it's a good on Haggah. But he says the minig is not to be makbid, but one can be makbid. Lemaisa be fine today, come out, no one's makbid. No one's makbid. Who's makbid to buy soaps? Dishwasher soaps, maybe. Soaps they use for dishwashing, fine. People can be makbid. But on soaps on the body, we find people are makbid on Pesach, again, a Chiv Karas. People are makbid sometimes, there may be chametz in there, but we don't find that people are makbid in general about Sicha, Kishtia, all year round, with fats even like the sheet of the Be'er Lacha, who's saying that a Baal Nefesh, or I'm not sure if we use the word Baal Nefesh, I don't think he says Baal Nefesh, but a person, L'chadchila, should be Machmer, we don't find out it's Machmer, and the simple reason is actually because the whole Isser is only because since it's fit la'achila, since it's something which is asr la'achila, asr la'achila, sichas os asr. The soaps today, any soap that's made with fat is certainly not edible. It's likely not edible even for an animal, certainly not edible for a human. Once it's not edible for a human, even if you'd go and eat that soap, you wouldn't be chayev. If someone eats a fat that's not edible, he's not chayev eating such a fat. So why wouldn't it make sense to have a chumra that sichas aser on something which eating is not going to be aser? Ironically enough, even though in the form of sicha this is a normal usage, and the form of achila is not a normal usage, so you could say that maybe for achila it's not a problem, for sicha it is a problem. No, because since sicha, the whole lambda sicha is like achila, and for achila this would not be aser, even though it's non-kosher product. But if a person eats something which is not considered a food, and it's a non-kosher product, he's not over an achila. Maybe he still shouldn't do it, maybe there's timtum, but it's not considered an isra achila. It's certainly not considered an isra achila. So if it's not isra achila, it wouldn't pass isra sicha. And therefore, there's no real need, even according to the machmir that the Be'er Lacha brings, to go look for a heksher on soap. There's no non-kosher ingredients, because the soaps that we use, the soaps that are found today, I'm not sure what it was like even 7,500 years ago, or going back 100 years ago, but the soap that they used to use, like even certain grains and stuff to clean their body, but the soaps that we use are completely inedible. Once they're inedible, there's no isra achila. If there's no isra achila, there's soon not going to be an isra of sicha. L'chair, it wouldn't be relevant that shayla b'zman hazeh. Yes. Okay, zakti gemara. Reisha deleker b'laz mazaya, sefer k'laz mazaya. The gemara is bothered that the reisha of the Mishnah is not like a b'laz mazaya, meaning the reisha of the Mishnah, which discusses how many days of tumah, of plate the shech vazera, how many days it is going to be not kablazai, which we're going to quote. That's going to be the main focus of this daf. We're going to quote blazai shita, how long tumah is. Our Mishnah is saying that by the third day that there's tumah, and Abazai is going to seem to say that by the third day there's ready tara. So the ratio does not feel like a blazai, which would be okay. Problem is seifa is kablazai. The seifa which discusses this din of marchitzas of yelad, that's actually a blazai mazai shita in reblazai de mila later on in the parak that discusses mila in Masechet Shabbos. Reblazai mazai is the one that says that you can wash the baby on Shabbos. So Dika Bazaya says the Gemara, the Reisha like a Blazer Zaya, why? Tahir Shamanale. Because we have heard from Blazer Zaya, which again we're going to quote later. It's a Bryce, it's a Mishnah Mikvayis. It's a Bryce that we're going to quote later on this Amud. That Blazer Zaya holds the third day. It is the third day. The plate of Shech Vazera is Tar, not Tame. So the Gemara is essentially troubled that the Reisha and Seifa don't seem to be jiving whether Reb Elazar ben Azariah is Tana or not. So the Gemara explains, Madle Muki Katanai Tana Reisha Tahira. The one who will not be satisfied, an opinion that will not be satisfied, having the Mishnah be the Reisha Rabbanan and Sefer Blaz Mazayas, flip-flopping who the Tana of the Mishnah is, someone who does not like that approach will have to tweak the Mishnah and switch the word Tamei to Tar. Menayin Lepet HaShech Vazer B'yam HaShlishi, that it's Tar. And for the same sukkah, the same conversation we're going to have about how many days before Matan Torah there was a separation from the wives, you're going to have to say tar, and then if it's like a Blazer who says day three is tar, and the next dinner of Machitza Ziyad also is like a Blazer of Zaya, so both is like a Blazer of Zaya. But the one who has no problem making a Mishnah Machlekes Tanaim, and the one who does not makbid, will say, Reisha Rabbanan is saying for Kerbal Azar, will leave the gear as is. The Reisha Rabbanan is saying, Tame, not Kerbal Azar Mazayah, and the dinner Machitz Yelad is like Kerbal Azar Mazayah. Reisha Rabbanan is saying for Kerbal Azar Mazayah. Rashi points out, what does this mean? Mad Demuki. So there's a Gemara in where is it exactly? In Bava Mitzia Daf Memalef. The Gemara discusses about returning a chavis. A person stole a chavis and he wants to return it. Does he have to be Medea, the victim that he stole from, that he returned it, or we returned it, or could he just put it back to the place where he stole it from, and therefore, and then it's okay? It's a discussion at the end of the Gemara, and the Gemara comes out that there seems to be a machlekes. The Mishnah doesn't seem to jive one line to the next. The two dinim of the Mishnah don't seem to jive with the same Tana. And Rabbi Yechon there says, whoever can make the Mishnah jive according to one Tana, I will go be Mishamishim. I'll carry his wares, his towel, his stuff to the bathhouse on his behalf. I'll service him like an Eved. Whoever can make the Mishnah stim. We see clearly in that Gemara over there in Bamitsia, Daf Memalef, that Rabbi Yechon is makbid to have a Mishnah stim with the same Tana. So Rabbi Yechon is makbid, that's what Rashi was alluding to. That's what our Gemara is alluding to and saying that the one who's makbid, the Mishnah Shashdim will have to tweak the ratio and say tar instead of tame and make the whole Mishnah Kabbalah ben Azariah. If you'll like a Berechon and Yatzel Makbid the Mishnah Shashdim, then you won't mind to have the ratio Rabbanan and Sefer Rabbalah ben Azariah. Okay, Tanaban. Now the Gemara actually goes through, elaborates on this on this discussion we just referenced of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Again, this conversation is going to take us really to most of this daf. Tana b'Rabbi Pelat Shechazera b'Yam Shlishi Taira. Tiv Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says an isha that's Pelat Shechazera on day three she's tar. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, he says no. It depends. Sometimes it's four einus. Sometimes it's five einus. Sometimes it's six einus. What's an einus, first of all? An einus is a 12-hour period. 12 hours, the day is split into two 12-hour periods. Without making it extra complicated between shazmanis, not shazmanis, either way, a day is split into two 12-hour periods, night and day. So Rabbi Shmuel says the amount of time that she's tamei for when the ejecting the zera out of her body that she'll still be tamei is sometimes four einus, sometimes five einus, sometimes six einus. What's unique about both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shitas are they're not basing it at all on a specific amount of time. This basically on a calendar day. So start the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Peleta shvichazera on yom shlishi's tar. That means if the tashmish was on Wednesday. Wednesday is day one, Thursday is day two. So any shechazer comes out on Wednesday, Thursday is tummy. By Friday she's tar. By Friday she's tar. It doesn't make a distinction whether the tashmish happened Wednesday, Tuesday night, which is also Wednesday, right? Yom Revi at night in the beginning of Yom Revi, or it happened towards Shkia on Yom Revi, which all the way almost 23 hours later on Yom Revi. It makes a difference with how many days it is. If it was day one, day two, day three. If it's day three since the tashmish, then she's going to be tar. Anything before that, day one or day two, is going to be tummy, and it's irrelevant to how many hours. It doesn't make a difference if it's 48 hours or 71 hours. As long as it's into day three, it's going to be tar. It's a chiddush that it goes on the calendar day, not based on the amount of hours. Rabbi Shmuel is also very similar. Rabbi Shmuel, by saying sometimes it's four einus, sometimes it's five einus, sometimes it's six einus, he's just arguing on how many days we need. He's arguing, Rabbi Shmuel is arguing about Zaya. Rabbi Shmuel is saying he only needs 2 days, the third day is fine. He's saying you really need to be the fourth day. You need 3 days. Sometimes you'll need six full einus. If the tashmish happened at the beginning of the first day, you'll need that whole day, which is two einus, the next day and the next day, which is six einus you'll need, and the tar will only be on the fourth day, which is after six fullness. But again, Rabbi Shmuel also is basing it on days. Rabbi Shmuel, the only difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar is whether it's the third day or the fourth day, but not about how many einus. Rabbi Akiva comes to say an idea, which not chas v'shalom that we take sides in any of this discussion, but an idea that would be easier to understand, and that is that it's based on hours. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo'elam chamish, it's always about five einus. You need to have five einus. The first five einus after tashmish, those five einus is when the zera is still considered alive, and if it comes out of her body, it'll be metamer. After five einus, it will not be tamei. Says
not
right, enechami. That's true. But it's still more specific to a time frame as opposed to days. That is a good point. Correct. Even Rabbi Kiva, you have a spread of within the aina. That's true. The Miatza mixes aina rishaina, Naislam mixes aina shina. No, look at the next words. Look at the next words, Lizer. The Miatza mixes aina rishaina, Naislam mixes aina shishas. If part of the aina rishaina went by, let's say tashmish happened in an hour into the aina rishaina, you have to wait to an hour into the aina shishas. So it literally is hourly. Sorry, it was correct. It literally is hourly. Exactly. Very good. Okay. No. Im yatsa mixes aina, naislam mixes aina shishas. Mixes and mixes. It's clear. It's
So because you need five complete ones, the principle of five remains.
Yeah. But five complete ainas is 60 hours.
If he starts off the beginning,
I understand, but five complete. Five complete einus, but it's still very close. You want to say because the einus may not be the same. It's very close to an exact time frame. Fine.
No, let's say.
That's correct. So again, depending on the length of the einus, it won't always be exact. It won't be exactly exact hours, but five einus is pretty close. Okay. I'm Rabbanu Kabeder Papa. I'm the Papa Rava. Bishlam Lavez Ben Azaria Kidra Abana Dami Chamishi Avit Pisha. So this actually for us works out very well because we already saw the Gemara on Daf Pevav Ambeis the bottom, and we saw there's a machleik is there. There are Abana and basically quickly to go over the basic ideas over there. Everyone agreed they came to Sinai. They came there on Rosh Chodesh. Everyone agreed they came on Rosh Chodesh. Everyone agrees Matan Torah was on Shabbos. So what's the machleik is? When was it when they got to Sinai? Was it Sunday? Or was it Monday? If it was Sunday, then Rosh Chodesh, then the Matan Torah was on Shabbos, which is day seven. That's a basic shita. If they got there on Monday, like they're Abanan, then Rosh Chodesh, then Rosh Chodesh was a Monday, so Matan Torah was on Shabbos, which is day six of Sivan. Fine. What's the deeper explanation of the machlekes? We explained. Rabbi Yossi held they need to have that Kosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu on to separate, that the men and women should separate for 2 days. Moshe Rabbeinu was Meisif Yemecha Midaitai to have 3 days. So Mount Torah was on the fourth day. So Rabbi Shmuel was saying you need three full calendar days. Again, not doesn't make a difference if it's 6 Aynas or 4 Aynas, but it's basically 3 full calendar days. And on the fourth day of Torah, meaning the third day is still Tamei, that fits very good like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah fits very well like the Rabbanan. They said all you need is 2 days. They only had a separation of 2 days. There was no Meisif Yemecha. There's no extra day added. 2 days was enough for separation, and day three is very tar. That fits very well. Well, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, 2 days or 3 days fits very well. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Kerabanan Chamishi Avid Prisha. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah goes to Kerabanan and said that the Prisha was on Thursday and Manter was on Shabbos. Well, you have 2 days. That's enough. Rabbi Shmuel Barbeisi Kedamar Bervi Avid Prisha. Rabbi Shmuel Barbeisi Kerabeisi. Sorry, Rabbi Shmuel is like Barbeisi, who says that the Prisha was a day earlier on Wednesday because they got the Mibasina on Sunday, not on Monday. Okay, very good. So both those Tanaim fit like the Tanaim and the Machlekes of how Matan Torah was, day 6 or day 7, very well. Ella, whether it was Prisha of 3 days or 2 days, to be more specific. Ella, Bekiva, Kaman, but according to Bekiva, who says it's a vert of 5 Inas, who does he fit like? Says the Gemara, Lo Elim Krebiasi, Rabbi Kiva fits like Krebiasi, Kedah Amar of Adarava. But if it's like a basic, but we're going to use this memory for Adrava to explain it further. When he went up from our Sinai to Shemayim, he went up in Ashkama and he came back down in Ashkama. What does that mean? Bashkama Ola Dichsiv, Vashka Mesha Babaika Vial Arsina. It says, Mesha went up in the morning and he went up our Sinai. That's talking actually about Luchashnias. He went up. And that random a little bothered that that's Luchas Shnius. How's that a riot? Just could be Luchas Shnius. He went up in the morning. That every time he went up prior, we're discussing about Luchas Shnius, that when he went up and when he came down, and when he gave the directive to separate from the wives. He went up and came down on Wednesday. This is not talking about for Mount Torah itself. So prior to Mount Torah, in the week prior to Mount Torah, we spoke out, if you remember, it comes up in the Gemara in a couple of Bach from now, but we spoke out, Moshe was all of Yard, each day. He was going up and down. It's the Lashon Brice actually said, on the fourth day he came down. That's saying he went up. Mer said, no, Avad means went up again on the fourth day as well. He used to go up and down every day. He's going up and down every day until he spent the day building the Mizbeach on day 5 or day 6. But the point is that we're saying all those Ashkamas by the first Maimed Har Sinai, by the first time he went up by Luchas Rishonis, were the same as the second. We don't have any clear indication how we know that. Maybe some sort of hekesh. Okay, and when is that? In the morning, because it says Vayashkim. It's Bashkama Yared. He came down by Ashkam as well. How do we know that? We know it says he went up Bashkama. How do you know he came down? Dechsev Leich Raid Valisa. Ata Varnamecha. It compares the Yerida to the Aliyah. So just like the Aliyah is up in the morning, the Yerida is also in the morning. Makesh Yerida Aliyah, Mali Bashkama, Af Yerida Bashkama. Okay, so now that we're saying that the Yerida is in the morning, let's do some math. If the Yerida is in the morning, Moshe Rabbeinu came on Wednesday morning, we're going like Rabbi Yossi, and gave the instructions right away Wednesday morning, separate from the wives, which means Wednesday night already passed. The Aina, remember the Jewish day, the night begins the night before. So the Wednesday night, the Aina of, I shouldn't say Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Leil Revi, which is Tuesday night, had already passed, right? So you have the Aina, if it came down right away in the morning of Wednesday, so you have the full day Wednesday, that's one Aina, Thursday, 2 Ainas, Friday, 2 Ainas, and then Shabbos, they're ready for the Kabbalah Torah. So you have 5 Ainas leading into Shabbos. They went to the mikveh, actually Friday night, they went to the mikveh, ready to go for Kabbalah Torah. So you have 5 Ainas, that's where Bekiva gets it from. So the Mara's question was, which time does Bekiva fit like between the Machlekes or Beis and Rabbanan? He fits like a Beisi, and he's explaining that there were 5 Ainas, a minimum of 5 Ainas, from when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the directive not to have Tashmish. So the Mara just asked the technical question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to, it sounds like, he had to come down Mamish, but Baikir, that they have the whole Ain of Wednesday to be counted because he already told them to separate. Well, he could have come up much later. He could have come up Wednesday afternoon, close to Shkia. We know that you saw Kadesh Amar Vuna, you saw Kadesh Main, Ve'imish Mashamishin, Mita Sabiyayim. Klaisos is Kadesh, and they don't have Tashmish Mita by day anyway. So therefore, even if Meshach would have come down much later on Wednesday, much later in the day, we would have still been had the 5 Ainas, Klaisos, because from Wednesday morning, Klaisos is not Mashamish Mita Sabiyayim, and therefore from Wednesday morning, so you already have Wednesdays counted. So as long as he warns them before Wednesday night, which is Leil Chamishi, before Wednesday night, you'll still have the 5 Ainas. Answers the Gemara. We know there's a few exceptions to this. Hama Rava, Imaya Bias Afal Mutter. If it's very dark, it's Mutter. The reason is the main issue is by day, it's a problem of light. Too much light is not good. It's not, it could be an issue of Aftar Chameicha. It could be an issue of seeing things a person may not want to see, or things he's not supposed to see. He's not supposed to see certain parts of the Isha's body, and therefore it's a problem. So if it's a pitch black room, if it's very dark, then there's Hatter. Furthermore, Vam Rav Yitim Rav Papa, Tam Chacham Mapa Patalisa Mutter. Tam Chacham could cover himself with a blanket, and it's also Mutter, which is the Chor a further heter, meaning one is if the house is totally dark, or at least the room is pitch black. The next is even if it's not mamish fully dark, we have more confidence that I'll make sure to cover that where the deed is happening is covered, and that area alone is at least covered, and it'll be dark at least where it's happening, and therefore it's also mutter. So we have scenarios with mutter, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to give him the warning right away in the morning. He had to give it right away in order to avoid any tashmish that happened by day. But the point is, we still have the five einas. That is Rabbi Kiva's source. It fits well according to Rabbi Yossi. He fits as well. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara a question. Top of Pevav Meis. One second. It comes out based on our cheshbon. They had five einas. They went to the mikveh when we said already Friday night they go to the mikveh. Halacha, one goes to the mikveh. He's only considered a tful yaim. He went to the mikveh that day. He's not considered fully tar till when. Till Harif Shemesh, till nightfall the next night, which means not till Matzah Shabbos. If they went to Mikvah Friday night, they will not be considered fully tar Harif Shemesh till Matzah Shabbos. With Klai Yisrael, which we're not saying for sure, I mean, the Gemara is going to essentially say it's talking out a problem, but the Gemara is asking at first, incredulously, are you telling me that Klai Yisrael, whoever was B'Shamesh B'Tasei at that point to the latest time, were they Paleta Shechvazera, were they going to be Tful Yaim B'Man Taira? How Tful Yaim Nenu? They come to the Tful Yaim, the Gemara says, yeah. Abaya bar oven, Rechini bar oven, Dami Tavayo. Ninatel Tful Yaim, who told you the Torah can't be given to Tful Yaim? Certain dinim of Kachim, Anagayef at Tful Yaim. But the Gabi Kabbalah Satayra, Kabbalah Satayra is okay with the Tful Yaim. We know we actually spoke out in Brachas. We spoke about this at length, where the Mar discusses what a Balkari is allowed to do in terms of davening, in terms of learning. So clearly, once he goes to the mikveh, that's fully fine, even though he's a Tful Yaim. That was saying for sure is okay. Even beforehand, Lemaisa, it could be as Takaras Ezra is only a Chumrah, not really make your adin, but certainly after you go to the mikveh, it's fine, you'll have to learn Torah. Nitna Torah, Torah can even be given to its full yaim. So Mar now just asks a historical question. Yes, Rama becoming the Shmaita. Rama saying of this memra, I'm not feeling memra. So Rama said of the Shmaita that the full yaim, we could have been full yaims by Matan Torah. We could have been a full yaim, status of full yaim, and the status tira. So Ravina just asked Rama, Nitna Karmit, a Ruik Karmit. When you said over the statement that we could be full yaim, status tira, does that mean that Klaisel actually was, there were people amongst Klaisel that were full yaims? Or no? It was fit, the setup was such that it was fit that as long as, even if they're Tful Yaims, they still be fit to get the Kabbalah's Tar Klai Yisrael. But in fact, no one was a Tful Yaim at that time. Everyone was fully Tar. Armalei Ruya Kamina. I wasn't saying that they actually were Tful Yaims. No Yid at that point was actually a Tful Yaim. They all were fully Tar. Every Yid was fully Tar. But theoretically, it was set up in a way that even if one of them was a Tful Yaim, it still would be fine. That would be okay for Kabbalah's Tar. Okay. Fact Gemara. Still. So why, if based on this cheshbon, why did they wait till Shabbos morning to get the Torah? Why did Kosh Baruch wait Shabbos morning to give us the Torah? Why not go to the mikveh Friday night? Get the Torah Friday night already. I guess every little bit of having Torah earlier, that's the Gemara's question. Why wait till the morning? Wouldn't it be geshmak? The sooner the better. Why delay even one more minute of getting the Torah? Especially, let's do it as soon as possible. One aina earlier is greater. Amar Bitzuk, Leimer Resh Pasesi Debarti. The pasuk says, Akash Baruch Hu, from the beginning, I didn't speak to you in Beseser. Giving the Torah Beseser would diminish a little bit of the aura and the prestige of Torah. It had to be Kael Subrakim, had to be in the morning, had to be by day when everyone could hear it. Leim Reish, it wasn't something to be done at a private time. Okay. Philip would suffer Shabbat to Samar, said, okay, if that's the case, why don't you go to the mikveh on Shabbos morning, the Kabbat Torah B'Safet Shabbat, and Kabbat Torah Shabbos morning, why was going to the mikveh done on Friday night? And it's very relevant because really it comes out based on a cheshbon, if the issue would be Pilat the Shechva Zera, still, I mean, according to some of the Shittas, that on Friday night, then she would still have to go to the mikveh Shabbos morning, she'd be fine, but she would have had to go to the mikveh Friday, Shabbos morning, and then she'd be okay. So why not just make everyone go to the mikveh Shabbos morning? Why are we saying that the story was they went to the mikveh Friday night and accepted the Torah Shabbos morning? Let them go to the mikveh Chatchila Shabbos morning to cover all bases. Says the Gemara, Amar Bitzlak, Shlehe Halalu Hochim Lekabal Torah, Halalu Hochim Letfila. We don't have that some people are already lining up to Kabbalah Torah by the mountain, and others are going to Tefillah, even though they're going to come back, obviously, to go to the mountain, but we don't want to have people going in different directions. I'm not sure what the issue is. Someone is in the notes, they bring the issue. Is perhaps you wanted to be that mamish kishach ablevechad v'chasham b'sol kulam kechad kishach ablevechad. It's more of a glory. The whole Klai Yisrael comes together to Matan Torah. Not some coming now, some coming later. Everyone is prepared. Everyone comes together. That's the issue. Not so much the fact that some are going to Kabbalah Torah and others are going to the mikveh as if it's some sort of bazillion. It's just the lack of. Not unity, but the lack of covenant that's missing by not having everyone come together. That seems to be the issue. Okay.
You already just finished saying that this was not negeah. Nobody.
Yeah, yeah. That's correct. That it wasn't negeah lemaisa because no one was planted shechvazera. But it had to be set up in a way that theoretically, if it would happen, that no one should have to go. People wouldn't have to be busy going to the mikvah. Lemaisa, first point out that according to the chamim, that we're gonna have the chamim that say the chamim are gonna say that there's gonna be. six fulanas. That's going to be the sheet of chamim. So according to them, there will be people potentially. There would have potentially been people that had to go to the mikveh in the morning. But again, as a general rule, most of the klal was able to go to the mikveh the night before. And again, in reality, it never happened that anyone had to go to the mikveh because they weren't pulled to shechel zera. No one was even at full yom on the yekapal zera that happened to have been the metzias. Now on this point that we're saying that Lemirish Pesach Debarti, Akash Baruch Hu says, I don't want the Torah to be given at night in darkness. It should be aura and power in the middle of the day. Everyone should see it. So there's a beautiful, beautiful Yisayid from Rishal Katzal Elenbogen in the back of the Gemara. We spoke out already when we learned, we went ahead and we learned the Gemara Shavuos last week. We spoke out, there's a Gemara, a famous Gemara in Pesachim, where Rabbi Yosef says, Ilav Hayam Akam Yosef Ikka B'Shuk. If not for the day of Matan Torah, how many Yosef would be B'Shuk? The simple meaning of the Gemara is, Pashup Shad is, if not for Matan Torah, I'm the God Aldar, obviously with Anivas, Rabbi Yosef actually says, Haika Anna, I'm don't tell me there's no Anavim around. I'm still around. I'm an Anav. So it's not Nasiu, it's Anivas. What he's saying is, I wouldn't be the God Aldar of Rav Yosef without the Torah. What makes me gives me status as the God Aldar as Rav Yosef is because Hayyema, because of Kabbalah's Torah. We asked the question, what's the Nisach of Ilav Hayyema? It should say Ilav Matan Torah. That's the question we asked last week, and we said a beautiful answer based on the base of Levi. The base of Levi says that there's a Machlekes, if Matan Torah was on day 6 or day 7 of Sivan, we paskin that we, of course, we celebrate Shavuos on day 6, 50 days from Pesach. We paskin that Matan Torah was on day 7, like Rabbi Yosi, yet we celebrate day 6. What's the Shabbos celebrating day 6? So we explain because we're celebrating actually Moshe Rabbeinu's Hesef Yem Echa Medaitai, Avada Torah Shabbosav, the Torah was being given to us, being given to mankind. That was going to happen regardless. Of course, we got it on Shavuos, we're celebrating it, but that wasn't that we got on day 7. That's not the Ikka celebration. Ikka celebration is that the Bailus of Torah, the Psak of Torah, Torah Shabbat Peh, was given over to Bnei Adam, to Klal Yisrael. That was given to us on day 6 when Moshe Rabbeinu was Maisif, an extra day of waiting. Hashem said separate for 2 days. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, wait, a third day, separate a third day. That extra day is day 6. We're celebrating Hayyema. That's the day we celebrate Shavuos, and that's what basically says, Ilav Hayyema, the chashivas that comes to me as a gadol, that people listen, that there's a Masaira, that there's a chamim, that with people is a chamim, comes from Hayyema, Ilav Hayyema, Kamei Yosef Ikka B'Shuki, beautiful pshat in Hayyema. Rav Shaul Katzal Elenbogen says, a beautiful pilpul based on the Gemara we just quoted. He brings first two Yisaidis. Yisaid number one is Gemara in Ervin, Adaf Nadal, the Gemara says that if not for the first Luchas being broken, if we would still have the first Luchas Rishainas, then all of Klai Yisrael would be fluent in Kol Tarkula. Meaning like Uber B'Yachima, just like Uber B'Yachima is taught Kol Tarkula, Klai Yisrael in general, the approach to Luchas Rishainas was that Klai Yisrael is going to all be fluent in the Luchas Rishainas, only because Luchas Rishainas were broken. Now we have people struggling, and people, Klai Yisrael at large, is not, unfortunately, not fluent in Kol Tarkula. Fact number one. Fact number two. Rashi Chumash says that if the Torah was given at night, interesting medrash, had the Torah been given at night, where there wouldn't be so much fanfare and ayin hara, the Luchas Hashanah wouldn't have been broken. We wouldn't have been led to sin. We wouldn't have had the Yetzirah, the Satan with the eagle, and Luchas Hashanah would still be in existence. The only reason what led to Luchas Hashanah being destroyed is the ayin hara that came about because of the jealousy, because of all the nations seeing the beautiful, the amazing maimed of Matan Torah, the powerful maimed. It led to the ayin hara, led to the eagle, which led to Luchas being broken. We know, point number three, we know that famously the difference between Rab and Rabbi Yosef, the word describes their milus. In Torah, Rabu was Sinai, Rabbi got to the depths of a sugya, the Ian, he grinded the mountains, he got into the depths of a concept, and Rabbi Yosef was Eikar Harim. Rabbi was Eikar Harim, he ground up the mountains to get to the depths of a sugya, and Rabbi Yosef was Sinai. Sinai means Hekif, he got... He knew the vast knowledge of Torah, Kol Torah Kula. He knew the vast knowledge. The different milos of Rabbah versus Rabbi Yosef. Says of Shaul Katzal Elenbogen, gorgeous. If you take, we said our Gemara, Leimer Reish B'Seisa Debarti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I did not want to give the Torah at night. Right? I gave the Torah specifically by day. I wanted to be a Rash. If the Torah had been given at night, we're saying with the Medrash Rashi in Chumash, then the Torah wouldn't have, the first Luchas wouldn't have been destroyed, because there wouldn't have been Ayin Hara, and the Luchas wouldn't have been destroyed. If Luchas wouldn't have been destroyed, we said in the Gemara in Erev and Daf and Daled, then Gantz Klai Yisrael, that all of Klai Yisrael would be Bekiyim and Kol Tarkula. If all Yisrael became Kol Tarkula, what was the basis of Maila? Hekif. His Milah was Sinai, that he had Kol Derech Geula. His Milah wasn't the depth necessarily, his Milah was the breadth of his knowledge. Well, if Gans Klal Yisrael had that knowledge, then he says, Kama Yosef Iker Bashuki. I wouldn't be Rabbi Yosef, I'd be like everybody else. Ilav Hayyoyma. If not for the fact that Torah was given by day, Man Torah is by day, which led to the Ayin Hara, which led to Luchas being broken, I would be like another Rabbi Yosef, because Gans Klal Yisrael, had it been given at night, would still be Bekiya. But now that we had to come to Luchas Shnias, and I had to harve at the Shvitz to get my Torah, and it doesn't come to us, it wasn't just spoon fed to us, like Uber Berech Imai. Rather, we have to work for it. Now it's a unique status to be able to say of Sinai, to be able to have Kol Derech Geula, and that's why I am Rabbi Yosef Ilav HaYoyim HaKamei Yosef Kishuki, a beautiful pshat relating to the fact that the Torah was given by day, not at night. That's the nusach of day, as opposed to Ilav HaNtayra, Ilav HaYoyim. It's not just the Man Torah, it's the fact that it was given by day as opposed to at night. Okay, so tomorrow, further, a few more lines. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Zutu Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva, this is the words of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva, whether it's five Einus, or whether it's Rabbi Kiva says five Einus, Rabbi Shmuel, and others, as I said, it depends on the calendar day, the second day, the third day, but that's all the Shurim that they said till now. However, Abba Chamayim, Chamayim say, Amo Chamayim Tekashita, Sheish Einus Leim, meaning you need six full Einus. Six full Einus are required, so three full days, not just three calendar days, three full days are required. Obviously, it goes to Shitas Rabbi Yasi, and you have to say from Wednesday morning, they have Tashmish, and therefore, by Shabbos morning, they're okay, so that's six full einus. Amar Rav Chisda. Machlekes Shepishim in Isha, the machlekes in the conversation over here is Dafka by Zera that comes out of the Isha. So when it's in the Isha, she's Tar. Only when it's Peletus, when it comes out of her, she becomes Tami with the Zera leaving her body. So Dafka there, we're discussing how many days does it still remain potent to give off Tumma. Avapishim in Isha, when the Zera leaves the man, Tameya Kosmashi Lecha. When the Zera leaves the man, it's Tami. As long as it's moist, the Zera is Tami. There's only 2 days, 3 days. As long as the Zera is moist, when it leaves the man, always leaves the man, obviously. But when it leaves the man alone and wasn't hidden in the woman's body, it left the man and it's been open wherever it is. The Lecha is Tami. So long as it's moist. Masrav sheishes v'chol beged v'chol ar, ashi yolav shechva zera. Any beged, any ar that has on a shechva zera, any clothing, garment that has shechva zera, the pasuk says has to be going to the mikvah to be tamei till erev shemesh. Prat, we say it comes to exclude, shechva zera shisrucha. It comes to exclude shechva zera that's spoiled. So now, according to our logic, we just said as long as it's moist, it sounds like there's no such thing as spoiling. 2 days, 3 days, 10 days, as long as it's moist, it's still going to be tummy. Here in the Brisa, it seems to be saying it's totally if it's ruch or not. My Lash Pershim Inish, are we talking about we left a man and still was saying it depends if it's spoiled or not? Loi says the Marsha Pershim Isha. We're talking about a case where it left the Isha. When it left the man, there's no such thing as spoiling. As long as it's moist, it's going to be tummy. When it left the Isha, we have our guidelines. We said whether it's 2 days or 3 days, whatever the shear is, six ainas, or five ainas, that's the shear that leads it to be, that's still not spoiled. After that's considered spoiled and won't give off tumma. And this Bryce is talking about, the Drash of the Bus is talking about clothing, garment that the got the Shavazer from the Isha. Either she used it to wipe herself or just leaked from her body and went into clothing, not when it's coming from a man. By Rav Papa, Shechva Zera Shal Yisrael B'mei Kusas Mahu. So tell us, we're talking about Shechva of a Yid in a Jewish woman's body. What about by a Goy? Does that make a difference if it's a Goyish woman's body? What's the Shaila? Yisrael D'Dagi B'mitzvahs Chavol Gufayo. A Yisrael is worried about mitzvahs, their bodies get hot, they have more stress, they're worried about mitzvahs. And therefore, maybe it spoils faster. A V'chav D'Dagi mitzvahs, Lai maybe lasts longer, and maybe it lasts even longer, maybe lasts even longer than 3 days. Aydilma, Kivin D'Achli Shatzer Masim, since they each Chatzer Masim, Chavol Gufayo, their bodies, on the contrary, they're not as healthy, and they become hot, and therefore it destroys the zera faster than by a yid. And if you say that by goyim, because they eat shkatzar masim, therefore their bodies are hotter, and it destroys the zera earlier, even less than 3 days. But maybe hema mao, without getting into how the zera got into hema, if the zera maybe hema in the womb of hema, how long does it last? Does it last for longer than Isha or not? What's the Shaila? Isha, the Islay praised her Masrechas. An Isha which has a vaginal canal, so there's the area which is very hot and doesn't have fresh air in there, so it spoils faster, perhaps. Avayim, let's say, praise her, Lay. Avayim doesn't have a praise her. It's much more open, it's more exposed to the outside, and maybe therefore it lasts longer than 3 days. Aydam Malaysia makes no difference. Maybe it's the same as human, and it only lasts 2-3 days, whatever the shiur we said till now is, maybe only lasts that shiur. Take leave it as a shayla. Just getting back to, we started off with the Chazam Sefer. We pointed out from yesterday's shiur that he used the chachmei of the Bnei Seir to know the outside chachma, to know what's considered unique, and we use that we apply that into halacha. We apply chachma from outside to make nafkumi as halacha lemaisa. Chazam Sefer has almost opposite approach based on our Gemara, that he wonders how do we use medical information, studies that are done to non-Jewish people, non-Jewish women, non-Jewish men, and apply it to us, to Yidden, to make halachic decisions of what we should do. L'chari brings that, he takes issue with it, he brings, and there's a problem, because non-Jewish women don't have, or men, don't have mitzvahs, they're not dying with mitzvahs. They also don't have, they eat shkatzar masim, they eat different foods. We see from our Gemara clearly that the Gemara does, again, debates whether it makes as an effect by Sheikh Fazera, the Gemara doesn't resolve it. But you see the Gemara brings clearly, it is a svara to make a distinction. So how could you use as conclusive proof, a study done amongst Goyim with Goyish subjects, how can that be a proof to Yidden? Very interesting. It's almost opposite the approach that we had this morning, that we had when we started, about using the scientific data to apply it to halacha. Lemais, the Pesachim don't go with this Chasam Sefer, and they say, of course, we can use studies done by Goyim, whatever science tells us about the Goyim with regard to medicine, we apply to, as general rule, we apply to Yidden as well. Have a wonderful day. Tomorrow, Mitzvah, we're going to pick it up from back to the regular